so excited.
I just can't hide it.
I'm about to lose control.
Do you like me? High Mystery.
Is it just the audio that's important? Or... You know that song, and you're on a very special episode of High Mystery. If you know this particular mystery, that beginning will probably tip it off right away. But if you don't, stay tuned and I'll tell you all about it.
Tell us now.
This is the podcast where we smoke weed and talk about the mysteries in our universe. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Leanne.
I'm Holly.
I'm Robert.
Today we're going to be doing what we always do, smoking weed, talking about mysteries.
Yes.
If you haven't sparked up yet, please spark up alongside us.
Or eat the brownie, or rub some CBD lotion on your temples.
You should have already eaten it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's true.
An hour ago. Come on.
Press pause, wait 30 minutes, hit play again. Today I've got a King Palm that is stuffed with Jack Herrera and Blue Dream.
I have a blue banana twisted hemp wrap that is filled with Jack, gummy bear, and then Colin helped out on this.
Oh, and that also is more of the Blue Dream and Jack Herrera.
Nice.
That's right, I forgot I threw it on the blunt. I was like, did I help name the weed or something? I wasn't sure how I helped. This mystery is, who is the Scranton Strangler?
I have my theories.
So if you are a fan of the British or the American show The Office, in the American show The Office, there is a subplot of happenings in the town of Scranton where some people are getting strangled regularly.
Yes.
To death or just... passing?
Yes, to death.
Oh, yes.
As someone who hasn't seen every episode of the Office, I will be for those people.
Wow.
Well, as someone who has seen the entire series an estimated 15 times through, I could tell you I was very aware of the Scranton Strangler. When they were actually releasing the episodes, the show creator promised the audience that he would reveal who the Scranton Strangler was, and... most people were disappointed with, like, the final
answer
that the show provided, if you will. So a lot of people have, which was that it was just another character in The Office that we didn't really know by the name of, it's in my notes. Oh,
it's an interesting name. It's in my notes.
Mr. It's my notes.
I was like, yeah, did they announce
George Howard Scubb.
So, yeah, it was just like a townsperson, right?
Yeah, the fans were thinking that it was going to be one of the cast that we know and love as, you know, the Scranton Strangler.
Yes!
Otherwise, the reveal doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah,
and so,
it's just another made-up character.
Yeah, they gave us George Howard Scubb. But basically, there's a lot of, like, was it really George Howard Scubb? You know, nobody really thinks it was him. Obviously, this is a made-up, fictionalized TV show. But it has caught fire on Reddit and become, like, a huge thing. Who is the Scranton Strangler?
Fan theories are still theories.
Fan theory, indeed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's, like, an anagram of the actual...
person.
Name. Yeah, George Howard Scrub. Mix the letters together and you got...
why have three names?
Yeah.
That's extravagant.
Well,
why? Because more letters.
It does seem to be a thing with serial killers to go by their three names. I've heard that many times.
Because there's a lot of George Scrubs out there, or Scubs, or whatever his name is. But George Howard Scubs might be only a few.
Oh, if they're going to name...
yeah.
They don't want all the good George Scubs of the world to be...
exactly. I'm a hard-working Scubs.
I mean, I could see why they were like, oh, we can't have one of the main characters be a murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, but like maybe a character that we know that's sort of ancillary
somebody in the
or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was just like somebody, a townsperson, like no one, not even in the office.
We'd never seen him on camera. And still have never seen him on camera.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They never even allude to this guy before. It's not like he's the guy in...
Not
the
even a shadow, not even like, over the shoulder.
Just a citizen of Greater Scranton, as far as we know. But the fans are unsatisfied with this, and even the story leaves openings for it to be a lot of other potential characters.
So if I've learned anything from the news lately, it's that they'll redo it and come out with, you know, since the fans weren't happy with it, they'll redo it and make sure the fans are happy with it.
Yeah.
What are they redoing?
They're redoing the Sonic, his face.
Oh,
yeah.
they're redoing the CG on that?
Yeah.
They did.
Oh,
did. There was, like, something else that the fans were complaining about, and they, like, had to, like...
I want them to redo Game of Thrones.
There's a petition. There is a petition out right now.
I wanted more, but it's different. It was wrong.
Well, that's for a whole different podcast altogether. But... Basically, there are fan theories for pretty much every character out there. So I will go through a list of lesser suspects before getting to, like, the more credible suspects and whatnot.
See, he curated the list.
Yes, indeed.
That's how lists are done.
So first of all, we know Kevin Malone is the bigger guy accountant in the back. They said that Kevin could have presumably done it because he is in a band. So it's plausible that he can be out late every night. And Kevin is, like, kind of a Lenny character.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's just too big or doesn't realize his own strength.
He was just trying to massage the necks. Just trying to help you. Just trying to give you a throat massage.
But a lot of the evidence against him is the episode where he spills his bucket of chili and does a really bad job cleaning it up. So people think he couldn't possibly get away with it.
He was too clumsy.
But, I mean, in fairness, there is no, like, blood that he has to deal with at the scene of a strangle.
That's true,
I guess. So it's not like it's all over the place or anything.
And he made chili.
Yeah.
He's got to, you know, he had to, like, do stuff. Yeah.
Some fingers point toward Phyllis. And Bob Vance together, because on one episode,
oh my God, sex killings.
They make it hot.
Phyllis talks about how she'll flirt with guys in bars and get Bob to beat them up for her. And so there might be, you know, a violent past to Bob. And also, when you're installing refrigerators, you get a lot of access to people's homes.
No, you do.
And then
cameras.
And then also, Bob Vance is insistent on Bob Vance, Bob Vance, Bob Vance. So some people think that that's an alias or he assumes someone else's identity.
Bob Vance.
Right.
I mean, and didn't he cheat on Phyllis?
What?
That was a plot line where she was insecure about him.
Oh,
doing
she
that.
Didn't
but
really
he didn't actually.
Cheat.
I don't think.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a plot line.
I feel like I want good things for Kevin just the way I want good things for Phyllis. So, like, even if Phyllis wasn't involved and Bob Vance was, like, a fucking serial killer, that would make her life so much sadder.
Unless
and
she's in on it and, like, totally down.
Yeah, they're doing
it's
it to
right.
get up.
It's
alright
if they're strangling. If they're
you, like,
together.
Watch the whole show, just like, this one's a killer. Is that the idea, is that you could rewatch it just knowing what you know?
Yeah.
Can't
unsee it.
Some people point to Dwight because he grew up killing on the farm and stuff. But yeah, he is too obvious. And he also has, like, a polar north morality.
Yeah.
He, like, loves cops and law.
Isn't he also, like, he knows karate? Like, when he was, like...
He knows karate.
I'm just saying, he would,
he
would use other things other than strangle, you know? I feel like he would want it to be more extravagant, right?
Yeah.
Another person that they point to is Ryan, just because he's very demonstrative of, like, sociopathic behaviors with Kelly, and he's a narcissist.
That I can see, because fuck him.
Kelly too, though.
I mean,
also
I love
Kelly
to hate
them. Big reason they don't think Ryan did it is because he's in New York for a lot of the Scranton stranglings. But
in
he did,
New York,
exactly, and
good
he
alibi.
Did. He did visit his favorite branch several times. So you'd have to, like, really look into if those dates.
And while he was in New York, wasn't he doing a lot of blow?
He was
just
doing a lot of blow.
He could have done it without even thinking.
I could quote the episode where he's like, I'm going to hit the bathroom real quick. And Dwight says, are you sure? You've already been several times. Do you have a bladder infection?
could have just been drinking, you know, a gallon of water a day.
Yeah.
It's good to make sure you drink lots of water. But it also means you pee a lot.
Mm-hmm. Cause and effect.
And you can't mention Ryan without mentioning Kelly. And there are some, like, vindictive behaviors with Kelly in the show where, like, Jim and Dwight don't come to her party, so she's, like, messing with their sales
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But, I mean, that's about it. There's not a real strong case for Kelly. Andy, who's prone to fits of rage and has actually punched a hole in the wall of the office.
He gets it taken care of, though.
It's true. He does. He does come back
truly under control.
He does come back as Drew.
I mean, doesn't he go like off to an island or something like that for a while?
He does go sailing for a while.
He comes back and he can play the piano and he sings for his wife.
Think he could? No. You're talking
about Roy.
We're talking about Andy.
Oh, freaking Andy!
Yeah.
Sorry, the Narg Dog.
Narg Dog.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. Big tuna. If
Doi.
You will. I didn't even think about that. He does sail for 3 weeks on the ocean, and that would be presumably a good way to get out of town if there was any heat to escape or whatever.
Let things calm down.
Yeah.
Come back in the fall.
Some people point to Robert California.
Oh.
Because he's rich as can be. He shows up when the killings sort of start happening. I guess he'd be able to get away with it. But they also point to this quote.
No, you haven't said, you haven't said the person that I want, that I'm thinking of.
We're talking about lesser suspects right now.
Yeah. Working their way
we're
up.
Talking
to
lesser
suspects.
Suspects.
There's
yeah.
a lot of suspects.
Okay.
Basically, every.
Big line.
Nearly everyone on the show has been pointed to.
It's clearly Pam.
It's clearly Pam. Actually, Pam pretty much doesn't show up on the list.
Right, that's why. That's
the only
one I was
like,
pretty
no.
sure. Yeah.
She's had so many babies.
When people are talking about Robert California, they talk about this interaction.
He's the Lizard King!
I knew that would excite Tristan.
He's the lizard person, oh my god.
I don't know, that might have been too quiet to hear.
I think
hear,
it was
but...
too quiet, I couldn't quite understand it.
Oh, and you've got stupid ears on.
But basically he's threatening Andy when they're having a back and forth and he says, I'm the fucking Lizard King. And there's also a time in the show where he meets the person taking over Dunder Mifflin. And they say he introduces himself as Bob Kazimakis or something like that. So there's something too, like he has fake names and aliases.
Definitely is a shady character.
Yeah, and you can't talk about Robert without talking about Gabe, who also shows up the same time.
Love Gabe.
A super weird.
He's so weird.
Really into horror films. Remember, he shows them that weird, like black twisted.
And just use like it's beautiful.
And samurai swords.
Yep.
I like samurai swords.
But
murderer,
right?
But again, this is just strangulation that he's doing. So he's not using any swords. He's not in it for any type of bloodlust or anything like that.
Right. And if he likes movies, I feel like he would want to like document it or make it like a cinematic moment. Or
that's true because.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He does climb into the back of Stanley's car during that movie, and it's really weird. An obvious mention, not an obvious mention, just another mention, Meredith. There's a lot of, like, mysterious injuries with Meredith. Like, she shows up with, like, casts on her arm or, like, leg or whatever multiple times throughout the show. And she just generally has, like, crazy, inconsistent cartoon character behavior.
Yeah.
When they go to her house, her door is not unlocked.
It's just ajar.
It's ajar. And she says she's going to fix them Vienna sausages for breakfast. She's just a crazy cartoon character. And then they also said that maybe it was her son, because her son is really messed up on the show. He, like, shows up with a face tattoo and, like, half of his hair shaved off. And she's like, smile for the picture. And he's like, I don't want to. Some people point to Angela, that she's doing it out of, like, a religious persecution. So, like, she's so rigid with her black and white views of, like, who good people are and who bad people are that...
I don't know enough about...
Kind of intense thing like that.
The episode, were the people who were strangled bad people? like all the victims?
We don't get that much information.
Any more detail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But she's a small person. Yes. That's part, a big part of the show is her being small. And she is,
she'd have to jump
a woman's weapon
strength
all the way. I mean, she'd be poisoning people.
Yeah,
from far away.
Them.
She wouldn't want to get her hands on their filth. know, like, and also, she's small.
She's teeny tiny.
Like, that's
tiny
her whole
hands
deal is, she talks about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, no way to feel big and powerful than strangling someone to death.
Yeah, but that's hard to do.
Yeah,
right?
She
that's,
physically
it takes a certain amount of, it
takes time and effort.
There's
you're
a
that person down too. Like,
there isn't an episode
stay
where she's like inexplicably strong or anything, is there?
Right.
Not to my knowledge.
And then the honorable mention.
What?
It's okay. It comes through his computer, so it's unstoppable. It's the unstoppable joke.
It'll take over the world
someday. Technology, so helpful.
Another lesser an honorable mention in the lesser suspects is Mose, Dwight's weird cousin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think that the Schrutes are good candidates because they do pull beets from the ground constantly.
Strong grip.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to do that. It takes a lot of muscle. I mean, just farming in general.
Yeah, they've got working hands.
I always thought Mose was played very sweetly.
Yeah.
He wanted Dwight to play all the time.
He was just like, he was a big kid. It was awesome.
Okay, now we're moving on to the more serious suspects.
Okay.
I know, right? I think we get a little more intense up in here. This is great because this is a mystery within my mystery. And the mystery would be titled, Who is Luann? Luann is a character who shows up in the background of several episodes of The Office.
Whoa.
She never has a speaking line, but apparently, once you start seeing her, you can't stop seeing her. She has several appearances on the show.
A lot of different looks, too.
And a lot of different looks. So some people think that maybe Luann is the mysterious Scranton Strangler.
Oh my god,
I've never
same
seen
woman,
this.
I just realized that we're like, the records are the same woman. Oh my god.
I do remember these scenes, but I don't remember thinking,
that was her life, dude. That was her
she's,
life.
She,
was
she could just be a day player. Not a day
she
player,
a
but
filler.
Like, you know, there's
really?
Extras.
She's there over and over.
There's really not extras in too many in the office.
I've had a friend who was in office, was an, I don't know what it's called, extra, like heightened extra, because they were there over and over
yeah
again. And I know that in Scrubs,
Featured extra.
Thank you.
Well, because you have to, because it's like a working place. You have to bring back like the same, you know, like it would be the same people working there. So you have to kind of use the same extras to like, those are the employees. They're just not the main employees.
But it's really not even a show that everyone's always accounted for. Everyone's always interacting. And so I don't remember seeing.
I mean, she's definitely not on any of the tour bus is picking them up to go camping or anything like that. Not at, like, Chili's cookout or whatever the heck they do.
She might be the designated stay-behind person, you know, so the office can still function in some way.
Someone's got to answer the phone.
Yeah, right.
Or someone's got to at least be there and make sure not everything gets stolen.
Yeah.
She apparently works in the annex in the desk across from Toby that we almost never see. So she works back there with Toby and Kelly.
Maybe she's holding the camera, because isn't it shot like very like someone's interviewing the people?
Well, yeah, but we meet the crew in the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And I would definitely make an argument for one of those crew members being Scranton Strangler. What's that guy's name? Alex or whatever the heck? Adam?
who
Brian?
Like protests.
The one that she falls in love
yeah
with? Like, she has, like, or that falls in love with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian.
Who, like, fights a guy with his boom mic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What is your weapon? Choose your weapon. I choose boom mic.
I chose it because it's got boom in the name.
So yeah, that's like her breakdown. Just a lot of people point to the fact that her hairstyle and hair color changes every time we see her. So maybe she was a serial killer.
She does look kind of like menacing for certain in that one photo. Very dead eyes.
Wow.
Look.
On that note, I am sparking another blunt.
That blunt.
spark that fun.
The next candidate on the list.
Wait, quick question. What are the dates of the Strangler? Like, what's the time frame? It's not like there was the Scranton Strangler, because I was under the impression that it was there for
seasons.
He had been going on for, this had been happening for a while.
Yeah, it
before
starts.
Before we enter their world.
I think it starts around season 7.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty late in the game.
That we start hearing about it, though, but it's like that's when his stranglings are happening, too?
I guess so, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, presumably. But they also could continue happening, and it could be that they only discover certain bodies or that they're bungling things.
Hmm.
So we know there's a lot of bungling going on.
Like you do.
Like you do. our next candidate on the list is our good buddy, Roy. If you remember Pam's ex-fiancé, perhaps you remember him doing this. And then he smashed several things inside of a bar to the tune of a jet ski's worth.
a jet ski's worth.
Yeah.
I mistakenly confused him for Andy earlier.
You may remember.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they both sing on the show.
Sing.
So,
yeah.
You know. And I feel like Andy probably sang some Billy Joel at some point. That's what Roy sings as well. But yeah, he's shown to be prone to violence, obviously. There are several different times where he's flung into a violent rage when he comes after Jim, when he is at the bar and finally finds out about it. You know, that's pretty violent.
Mm-hmm.
And they smash everything. Yeah. And right after he and Pam, like, split, things get really dark. And that's where we see the picture, the mugshot from him. He doesn't give a whole lot of details, I don't think, but question mark, things got really dark.
But then he has a nice house, which is always indicative of change. It makes you a good person.
Yeah.
And he has, like, doing a backyard wedding where he's playing the song that he learned to play for a partner.
To prove his love.
Yeah, maybe he finally found the woman that made him want to stop strangling.
Or she likes it, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she loved it.
Playing a dangerous game there.
He's fulfilled in that area.
They just have their one night a year where he can do what he needs to do when she goes to the spa. That's a purge night, yeah.
Next on the list, our old buddy Jim Halpert.
Well, well, well.
Oh,
look
well.
Who it is.
Jimmy boy.
Jim. He's in the big suspects list?
If you can see on his board in his room, he has a strangled Dunder Mifflin worker on a noose. And I wonder if that's not like a nod to the fact that they made him the Scranton Strangler. I don't know. A lot of people would say that's just like being tired with your work or whatever, but that's pretty insensitive and strong way to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people point to his bullying of Dwight, his obsession with Pam, even though she was engaged at the time, the way he manipulates people in the office with his charm, the fact that he's good at lying. He lies constantly to mess with Dwight.
He's like a Ted Bundy.
Yep. And there are no killings while Jim is in Stanford. I don't know, they pointed that out on there.
Wasn't he with Athlete or whatever the heck that was in New York or Philadelphia?
In Chicago,
Chicago?
I think. Or maybe, no, you're thinking
it was
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yes,
yeah.
Philadelphia.
I mean, what seasons were that?
Philadelphia. What?
What seasons were those? I mean, was that 7 through, how many did they run?
It's later.
7 through 9?
Nine.
I'm going to be real honest and tell you I didn't look up the timeline.
I would.
They did 10.
Wow.
They did 10 seasons.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure the Scranton Stranglers happenings are strongly introduced in season 7.
Okay.
I could be wrong about where that falls, but so after Michael Scott.
And
after he moves away, he's back.
Oh.
Yeah. after Jim does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets married.
Maybe that's when they stopped, when he moved to Philly. Because doesn't... they have that whole trial for him and everything.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that for sure.
Exactly. He... Oh. Well, but when he wants Pam and isn't getting her, that's when he would be strangling.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know?
We know that on the night of Jim and Pam's child being born, the night before, the Scranton Strangler struck. So maybe the stress of impending fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because
gotta get one more before I'm a dad.
Yeah, right.
Andy shows he wanted to.
That's right. The fucking newspaper.
Yeah, Andy shows a newspaper that he's had put into a shadow box, and he wanted to put a good headline on it, but the Scranton Strangler struck the night before.
What
so
was
it
was the
on
one that was like? She's like, but she came late. It was like the day before. And it was like,
yeah.
Spring has sprung.
And when Jim comes back from Stansford, he says,
I feel like there's a chance for me to start over. And if I fall back into the same kind of things I used to do, then what am I doing?
Strangling people.
Mm. Exactly. Can't keep doing all these stranglings. But yeah, so people point to Jim as like a Ted Bundy type.
Wow. That would make the whole show so different. It's like this whole show's happening.
They also point to the fact that even though most of the characters on the show just simply start living their lives and become less and less aware of the cameras, Jim is always playing to the camera, always noticing the camera. They think maybe somebody who was like that narcissistic and sociopathic would constantly be checking in when he's being observed, making sure he wants to, making sure he's portraying what he wants to portray.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't know. They did have the cameras on them for a long time, but I do think that that is not a thing that you forget.
Truth.
Yeah, right? I'm getting it.
Because that's even like a thing, like syndrome, like you react, you... It's
that's
hard to be completely yourself whenever there's a camera on because you're aware that the camera is on you all the time.
That's why with reality TV, they implement something called alcohol. And this lubes the people right up to make all kinds of bad decisions.
The next guy on the list is a firecracker, unpredictable one.
Mm. Oh my
Creed
gosh.
Bratton.
Mm-hmm.
One day, he shows up to the office covered in blood. It happens to be Halloween, and he's quoted as saying, "It's Halloween. That is really, really good timing."
Oh, my God.
So
yeah,
we know
gross.
Creed shows up covered in blood.
But blood does not come from a strangling.
It does not?
Well, maybe. You can
Are any of
bust...
them, like, amputated, or...?
Well, you
oh.
can bust the capillaries in the nose when you strangle somebody.
You can, like,
and cause a nosebleed.
Their eyes.
Oh, God.
I guess. You can the mountain them. You mean?
And we just know that Creed has a long and storied past as well.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job. I will do whatever it takes to survive. Like I did when I was a homeless man.
He also shows up when they're doing like the dinner detective. I just stuttered. Doing the dinner detective episode. And he comes in, greets Michael, and Michael says, "Well, there's been a murder and we're investigating the case." Creed treats it like it's legitimately a murder investigation, sprints out and flees out of the parking lot, peels out in his car. And at one point, he actually admits, he says, and I want to get this quote right, "Nobody steals from Creed Bratton and gets away with it. The last person to do this disappeared. His name? Creed Bratton." So we know that Creed took over someone's life at some point and probably was involved in some kind of horrible bloody event.
If we can assume that characters are telling the truth when they're talking to the camera inside their office space.
Well, and that's what a lot of people point to doubt with Creed. Although he is one, the top two suspects for sure. We only have one more after Creed.
But that would have been so perfect. And come on, Kareen, why would you not satisfy that itch? Why would you give us a Scubs?
Damn you, Scubs.
A lot of people say he's just like an exaggerating older guy, you know, like where they just tell tall tales or whatever. And so he's like created this joke persona for himself. But I don't know.
No.
Just pretend like we're talking until the cops leave.
But
he also has a band, so he could be touring with them just like, what's his face?
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a good cover as well. Because he could be. But he also has the cover of his insanity. Like, he's unpredictable like Meredith and hard to pin down.
Wait, has he said the one that you thought it was? For sure.
No.
He hasn't.
Well, it's
no,
gonna be this one then.
No.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Leanne might have something totally out of left field. A Charles Minor or David Wallace.
I think Dunder Mifflin, the building.
No, I'm you think it's a monster house scenario?
Where the eyes are the windows and the door is the mouth. Okay, I have to tell you now, there was a game that my friend Lee and I used to play when we were like driving home from whatever. We would look out the back window over the back seat and we would like tell each other the scary versions of the things that we saw as we were driving home. So we would like be like, I see an SUV, but instead of lights, it has fangs, and, like, it shoots the fangs out and tracks down any of its, you know, victims. And then I'd be like, and I see a house, and it opens up in half and has a giant mouth like a Venus flytrap. And we just do this on the ride home. It was
nice.
My friend who, like, loved horror movies and stuff, and that was just a game that we would play.
Way better driving car game than, like, the alphabet ones.
Yeah. Fuck the alphabet.
Fuck the alphabet.
But the number one suspect.
Can I say it?
I want to hear your guess first. Hell yeah.
Fucking Toby.
It's Toby.
Gotta be Jobs.
Number one suspect. Toby Flenderson. Toby says, there's no shame in getting beaten up by a girl. My ex-wife used to demolish me. Yet we get no word on his ex-wife, why they split. When Jim actually tries to talk to him about his divorce, he avoids it and turns it back on Jim several times. We do see his daughter come to work one day, and she seems sweet and kind and, you know, wonderful, but we never see anything of his wife whatsoever. So people point to that as being weird. There's one... really creepy moment that Toby does, which I'll play now. I don't know if we'll hear it.
We should really have the office's air quality tested. And we have radon coming from below. We have asbestos in the ceilings. These are silent killers.
You are the silent killer. Go back to the annex.
You'll see.
Michael?
Yeah.
If you didn't catch that, Michael says to him, you are the silent killer. And Toby responds with, you'll see.
Yeah. And a glance at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, he knows the camera's on him, and he's like, yeah, I'm teasing you, world.
I mean, but he could also just be talking about, like, you'll see that, like, all this stuff is going to, like, affect your health.
Yeah.
He just seems so powerless.
Yeah.
He's so sad. Like, I makes
maybe.
Total sense to me that he's taking his power back somewhere in a terrible way.
In a terrible compensation.
Yeah, and that might just be the image he's tried to cultivate all along to make himself the least likely, least plausible character or whatever. There's an episode where Michael beats Toby, Toby beats Michael at a game of cards. And afterwards, he's quoted as saying,
I'm gonna chase that feeling.
I don't know, it was just kind of another creepy thing. When Phyllis gets flashed in the parking lot, Toby mysteriously walks in late behind her.
You're saying that it might be Toby who was the flasher?
I mean,
exactly.
That's how you get him. You flash him, stun him, and then you strangle him.
Oh,
flash,
yeah.
stun, strangle.
Welcome back to Tristan Strangling.
I know, right?
Workshop.
It's starting to sound like GTL. Flash, stalk, strangle. Wait, I got it in the wrong order.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I see a dick, though, I'd be like, oh, I'm moving back. I wouldn't be hanging around to be strangled, you know, I'm running.
Every person's different, you know?
Run away from them, dicks.
Might just freeze, you know, like a deer in the headlights.
Just the shock.
The
it's
shock.
Just like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, what? Why?
Yeah.
That's my first thought is like, why?
Right,
why am I seeing
right.
this?
Yeah.
But yeah, some people think right that's now? Part of Toby's pattern of, you know, power over women or being just negative toward women.
Were all the people who were strangled women?
It doesn't specify.
I'm going to keep asking questions you guys don't know the
When their former boss, Ed Truck, is decapitated, Toby's response is to simply brush it off and to say, that's life, stuff happens. I think we all remember the moment where they're all locked in the office grounds and can't leave, and Toby makes a joke and then inappropriately touches Pam's knee and, like, caresses her knee. And then immediately announces that he's going to Costa Rica, runs out the building, leaps over the fence like a fucking superhero, and just runs home. And then indeed does move to Costa Rica, which could also be fleeing, like we were talking about with Andy and his boat
mm-hmm.
trip.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's in Costa Rica, he suffers a mysterious neck injury. He says he sustained while ziplining. Which, I don't know about y'all, but I've been ziplining, and it's pretty hard to injure yourself ziplining.
Yeah.
Maybe got, like, whiplash or something.
I literally just heard a story about someone who died while ziplining.
Oh,
no!
Yeah, like, someone I know.
Dead, isn't it?
Someone they know, like, died while ziplining.
Not to mention,
well,
we watched a show, Dating Naked, where they went ziplining, and she ended up getting, like, a black eye or something.
I'm kidding.
How?
Okay, maybe ziplining is a much more dangerous affair.
I mean, you can zipline through trees
think,
and stuff.
I think that gentleman was overweight, and he was worried about it in the first place, and he was, like, pressured or, like, encouraged into doing it anyway, and then the zipline broke.
Well, that doesn't sound
and
right.
And he died.
Oh
like, he hit his, I think he hit his head and then, like, later died.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I mean, I know every time I've been on a zip line in Hello World, I'm a rotund man. they've always emphasized the fact that it holds 4,000 plus pounds. So, like, if it snapped, it must have been some failing in their
right.
rigging or something like that.
Or a sketchy place.
Yeah. Go ziplining.
Poor maintenance.
Safe as fucking can be.
It's a South Park episode.
Yeah, they hate
they,
it.
They, at first, they're like, we want to do it, do all of them. And then it's like, we don't ever want to do this again.
Don't they get, like,
yeah.
pink eye or something, too, in that episode?
Isn't that the episode where they cut away to human versions of them or something?
Yeah, at the very
yes.
end.
Welcome back to Grab Your Cheesy Poofs, super thorough South Park podcast.
Deviating a little bit today, talking about The Office.
But so they think that rather than him actually sustaining an injury ziplining, that he tried to attack his first victim in Costa Rica, and they were too strong for him, and he got hurt in the process.
Mm.
When he does indeed... He ends up embroiled in the whole trial of the Scranton Strangler. He's actually on the jury.
That's right.
And some people think he, like, finagled his way onto the jury in order to help convict the Scranton Strangler.
Mm-hmm.
So, for one thing, he's missing at the office during the Scranton Strangler police chase and Gabe's party the same night. He's just nowhere to be found in the office, and he doesn't go to the party. So people think either he was just watching the chase so closely because he was, you know, falsely accusing someone, or he was in the chase and got away and somebody else got picked up or something like that. When he's on the Scranton Strangler jury, he eagerly shares undisclosed info and claims to like the attention. So he's quick to, like, give away court secrets, which you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he tells the whole office he's on the Scranton Strangler case.
Yeah.
Oh, my
And so this guy ends up getting convicted, and he later publicly denounces the jury verdict and says, you know, I'm afraid we put an innocent man in jail. You know, and maybe...
He's the only one who doesn't believe it, yeah. Or is acting like it's not him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's they pointed out that it's reminiscent of the If I Did It book from O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, right.
Where it's like...
I can't believe it.
If I did, this is how I would have done it.
Yeah, you know, and like shows the remorse of what happened and et cetera.
I know. I'm actually unfamiliar with that book. I know it exists.
I've read the book. It's
thoughts?
I recommend the audio
version. He goes
through
the entire killing of his wife and the waiter, and he claims that it was him and an accomplice. And that he'd be having arguments with this accomplice while it's happening and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what... But the guy who wrote the book, the guy who actually wrote it, was conducting these interviews, says that, no, I do not believe for even a second that there was another person there. It was just him, and he's trying to throw some of the blame, throw some of the doubt onto, you know,
mystery
somebody
person.
Else. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
That book did the opposite.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Well, whatever the case, Toby continues to fixate on the Scranton Strangler. Every time after it, you know, bring up anything, it seems like he'll bring up the Scranton Strangler. He does it so much that Daryl and I can't remember who else is with Daryl, they literally, like, hear him start to talk about it, and they, like, back out of the break room. They're like, oh, my God, again with this. I think he's telling Nelly. He also has that weird relationship with Nelly where he like takes off his glasses and like there's a weird thing where she's dressed as him.
She
and
comes as him for Halloween. Yeah. And he falls in love with it. Like, and he just like is staring at her, goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
He's weird around the women.
My thing is like, this is a scripted TV show. So it's like if the writers had put all these like things in and character development or whatever, why not just finish it out? Why then all of a sudden give this side story?
So that we can sit here and unravel it like we're doing today.
They left Easter eggs.
And then the last thing that people point to as Toby is like nail in the coffin or whatever, he actually goes and visits the real killer after he's decided that they wrongfully convicted him.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, we don't see the interaction with him and George Howard Scubb, but it ends in violence and Toby's in a neck brace again. So presumably people think that he went there to gloat and George Howard Scubb reacted so strongly that he like tried to strangle him or knocked him down and hurt his neck or whatever. But
I mean, yeah, if I was accused wrongfully of strangling some people to death and then the person comes in and is like, psst, it was me, and I was in the jury. Like, oh, he's getting strangled.
I'm about to be the strangler now. But yeah, that's the wall of evidence against Toby.
It's hefty.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
A big old wall.
I feel like you could also give an honorable mention to Jan Levinson Gould, Michael's long-term girlfriend for a while on there.
She's pretty violent.
And pretty crazy, you know. I remember when she threw that Dundee.
Yep, we all remember. we didn't mention, I guess, Stanley, it's possible. He's
way too chill, I feel like.
And also,
no,
he's
think
just
that's,
not physically capable.
He just doesn't...
He barely walks.
Maybe you could see him as chill, or you could see him as not caring about the people around him, or not caring about people in general. He does cheat on his wife, and I mean that maybe just that that you know nonchalant look at life might be like, oh, life is disposable. I don't care about these people.
He's way too comfy in his bath with red wine at the end of the day for me. He's like you, Rob. You don't work afternoon. He doesn't work after 5.
Yeah. Oh, man. It just would be so funny if Michael was right all those years. Fucking Toby.
Yeah. They do point that out, that, like, maybe Michael has, like, a inherent sense that Toby's evil. Since he hates him so goddamn much.
He's just so clueless about so many things that it just seems to me like his hatred of Toby is completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
It just meant, and just, it's funny how it affects Toby. yeah, he just wants someone to bully. But at the end of the day, if he was right, I mean, then it would make it seem like his actions were correct, but I think it's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the case of the Scranton Strangler.
Yeah, we all pretty much agree that it's Toby.
It could be Madge in the warehouse. She's a very small character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody else worth mentioning.
Craig Robinson?
Daryl? Oh, he's pretty chill. See him singing songs more than killing people.
just throwing names on the cast, really. Mm. I mean, nobody even thought about Michael.
Yeah, that's true.
A little on the nose, don't you think?
Does he leave after this? Oh, wait, he leaves before the Scranton Strangler stuff.
I think so, yeah. Again, I'm not sure on the timeline.
So
look up the timeline.
He leaves and then starts strangling people in Scranton. Just whenever he comes back home, because he moves out of town. Where does he go? Is it someplace near?
I think Colorado.
Yeah.
With Holly.
That's good.
Not our Holly, but Holly Flax.
Yes, I'm a real person.
What's Michael like?
Oh, wow, guys. I have some things to mention.
Sorry to accuse him of strangling.
I wonder what Steve Carell thinks of Michael Scott. Like, I feel like now, because didn't he, like, refuse? He's like, no, I'm not. I don't want to do... Like there was like a movie idea or something like that, and he's like, "This is Michael Scott's not coming back."
Yeah, it's the running joke he's got going now. Like on SNL, he brought a bunch of former castmates on and said, "Are we going to do the show? Maybe we should do the show." And like, it's just become a running gag that they're not going to do the show, but they keep teasing that they're doing the show. So yeah, I don't think any more is coming. I think you know. He probably hung up Michael Scott hat when he said that final goodbye to Pam without the mics on,
what
which is also
well, he
that's a mystery.
The wedding at the end.
That's for our next office mystery episode. No, I think this is the only one we'll be doing. Tell us what you think. Do you know who else might have been the Scranton Strangler? I don't know if this episode would inspire any good fan art. Maybe just like a sinister Kevin with a pot of chili.
Mm.
That could be fun.
With a finger in the chili.
Yeah, yeah. Do like your Garbage Pail Kids versions of the Office characters. Because we love fan art. And we'd love to see your interpretation of the weird things we're talking about. For High Mystery, I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Leanne.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Robert.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Leanne for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.